Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
What are you reading today? There's only one right answer. It starts with a Q.
What?
There's only one right answer. It starts with a Q.
Oh. Maybe next week.
Okay, I would like any of our listeners to start messaging her personally through our Goodish Girls page and bullying her until she reads Quicksilver.
Respectfully, you need to read Quicksilver.
Yeah, respectfully bully, but also put peer pressure on her.
Listen, at this point when we're recording, I have one more week until October ends, and so I want to do one more dark romance for spooky season. I actually just made a post because I don't know what to read next. I have between four books and I don't know. We'll see how it goes. And then I will read Quicksilver, I promise. It will be done because...
Okay, you guys heard it. She said, I promise. That's a big deal. So
I pinky promised the camera.
Guys, I just got my first Madison pinky promise.
And I don't break pinky promises because I also am kind of coming up on a deadline because... Quicksilver. Brimstone, she do be coming out next
Brimstone
month.
Brimstone be coming out. We do be having interviews with other guests, I'm not saying who, about Quicksilver. So I want Madison to be there with us. If you don't finish it, the special guests, plural, and I may lightly bully you for your absence.
You know what? That's fine. I welcome light bullying.
Madison couldn't be here today because she didn't finish the book.
Madison couldn't be here today because she actually sucks.
I'm going to call you as we're on the interview.
Just FaceTime me, be like, this is a girl who hasn't read Quicksilver. Listen.
You could be here.
I'm going to try.
All right, that's my bullying for today. Bullying done. You pinky promised it has to happen from here. So you have one more book and then you have to do it. One more book. I am still soul deep in Zodiac Academy. I'm on the Ruthless Boys series now.
What did I post? I'm between, because I'm either going to read one more book or I'm going to like quickly get through a series. Because I know. But I've been thinking of reading Priest, and that's the one that seems to be winning so far.
Yeah.
So I'm between Priest, Little Stranger, because I always see that everywhere. And people are like, if you love Say, then you're going to love Malachi. So I feel like I have to meet him. Or Insatiable, because that's also been everywhere. Mm-hmm. And I love some good emotional damage. Or, I don't know if you've read this one yet, it's Corrupt by Penelope Douglas. It's part of the Devil's Night. I've been seeing like a specific song on my For You page on TikTok, and people are like, it's just a song. And then it's like, but Devil's Night readers know. And it's like people dancing. I'm like, I want to know.
Yeah, I want to be another
I want to be a part of the club and listen to a cool song.
No, so now you got to read the whole book to know the song.
No, I think it's just like it's a vibe thing.
I don't know what that. I know what the vibe. I know what a vibe means, but I don't think I get it. I don't know. I'm still trying to be a part of Group 7. I don't know what that means either.
Group 7. Loved my Group 7 people.
I'm submitting my application.
I'll see what I can do.
Yeah. I was like, I don't know what Group 7 is, but I would like to be there and included. Thank you. I am your, am I considered an elder millennial?
I think I might be on generations, okay?
I think I am.
I don't even know.
I want to be cool, but
I just don't even know where I fall because depending on also fun fact, generations, it's a marketing scheme. Like that's not really important. They were just created so that people can like market towards and be like, oh, I'm a part of that. It's not even relevant.
Are you? you a generation conspiracy theorist?
No, that's seriously a thing.
Is this like the birds are robots kind of thing?
The birds are drones? No, it's a conspiracy.
I've never heard this.
Because it's been decades and people are always like, why are people so fixated on generations?
I don't know. It just is. We just are.
Because of marketing.
Wild.
But I also just don't know where I fall. Because people try to put me in two different categories. There's one that I resonate with. And then people try to like gatekeep. And they're like, no, you're not that.
No, it's your birthday. It's when your birthday is. That's what decides.
I know. But depending on the source, I've been told I'm millennial. I've been told I'm Gen Z. Or like whatever the one that is in like between. I don't know. I'm 99 baby. Well, if you look it up, then AI is going to be like, you're Gen Z. But that's AI. You can't trust AI.
Yeah. Millennials, 1981 to 1996. Generation Z, 97 to 2012.
See, but I do not, like, I've seen Gen Z.
It does.
And I do not resonate with Gen Z. I grew up with millennials.
Let me ease your mind here. The marketing scheme, as you say, it says you could be on the cusp, the AI, the internet, the Google, I don't know, whatever I typed in, says AI. People born in the years straddling the line, such as 1994 to 2000, are often referred to as Zillennials. Is that, yeah, can we like call that you that, either. A Zillennial? That's so funny.
I just won't exist on the radar. It's fine.
I was born in 94. I am not calling myself a Zillennial. I will just take millennial, elder millennial, and live my life.
And I was born in 99, but like my immediate family that I grew up with, they're all like 95 or 93 mm-hmm. or 92. I'm just like, I grew up with millennials, so I feel like.
You feel like a millennial.
Yeah.
Yeah. You could be a Zillennial. You could be both. If that makes you happy. You're in that time frame. I could also be I just don't want to be.
I'm just going to stick with I'm group 7 and it's fine.
I'm actually group 7. That's wild.
I was born in group 7.
You're so funny.
Listen, that's we got hilarious. Some cool people in group 7. I haven't been disappointed by a single member.
That's true. That's true. Fluffy blanket, hot cocoa, and a Hallmark movie. All you're missing is a cozy candle from Starlight Candle Company. Make sure you put some of their handmade candles on your winter vibe checklist, and you can use Goodish Girls 15 at checkout for 15% off. All right, here we go. All right, guys, welcome to the Goodish Girls. My name is Dallas.
I'm Madison.
And we are here for another week of your guided tour through Crescent City. As normal for all of our Crescent City episodes, we are taking you on a guided tour that is spoiler-free. Once we are done with chapters 57. I had to, like, scroll up. We are done with chapters 57 through 62, we are going to jump into the House of Theories and Lore. And that is where we are doing spoilers, not only for Crescent City, but for all of the Massverse, because it is all connected. So stick around if you like spoilers. If you have not finished the series, you can always exit out and then come back at a different time. Here we go. Chapter 57. So we start out with Bryce is brooding on the bed because Hunt pulled a fast one on her, right? He offers to go to the Medwitch with her, but she has zero plans to actually go to have this leg looked at. Once that wound on her leg is gone and it stops hurting, then essentially, as far as Bryce is concerned, Danica is gone and the pack is gone and it will all be nothing but a memory. So the pain she's genuinely trying to hold on to because it's the last thing that she has left of Danica and the pack, besides like the leather jacket. So this is essentially, again, her only way to hold on to them. Hunt does try to tell Bryce that this is not a good way to grieve and tells her that her mother literally cannot handle her being in pain. Like, he has met Ember online, like, he's talked to her, right? And as a mother, he's probably not wrong, right? Like, moms don't like to see their babies in pain. It physically hurts in their hearts. So I get where he's coming from.
Not as a mom, but as the person who unintentionally inflicts pain.
Yeah, your poor mom. She's like, my poor mom. Sorry, mom.
I'm like, if I could stop it, I would.
I'm so sorry. Yeah, but it like, as a mother, it does hurt. Like, when your babies get hurt, it, like, your physical body aches. It's the weirdest biological thing that I have no explanation for other than the fact that it's a mom thing. It's weird. So I understand Hunt's comment about it. So these two do have another moment, and they do take another photo of themselves. They take another selfie. And we keep mentioning the photos because it will come back around very soon. So keep an eye whenever they take a photo, because those seem unimportant in the moment, but they do become important later on. We also learn that Hunt likes Ember Quinlan, and we do learn a little bit more about her as well. So as Ember was running from Bryce's biological father, she ran and made it to a temple where she had Bryce. So Bryce was born at the temple. A few years later, they had to run because Bryce's biological father had found out that she existed and sent people after them. An escort was then assigned to basically help them run away, help them get to the next place. And that escort happened to be Randall Salago. And because the priestesses couldn't defend them, they had to send him, who was a holy guard. Randall was just back from the war about a year before and needed time to heal and, like, recover from everything that war put on him. So he couldn't go home immediately. He wasn't ready, right? So he offered up himself as an acolyte to Solas and was about to swear in his vows when he was assigned to protect the girls. Right before they reached Hylene, the men that Bryce's biological father had sent after them, so the Autumn King, right, had sent after them, they came across not only a mama bear, right, Ember Quinlan, but also a sharpshooter. So they didn't make it out of there very successfully coming after these guys. So her parents dealt with the mess afterwards, and it's all completely a secret to this day. Like, not very many people know this story. After that, the House of Earth and Blood deemed Ember a vessel for C'thona and Randall a vessel for Solas. So basically, they were both wholly off limits for anybody to touch. They are now protected by the houses and the priestesses. So this includes the Autumn King. Even the Autumn King cannot touch either one of them. So that's very interesting that there are limits for him as well. And the two, like, Randall and Ember have been together ever since. And they have raised Bryce together, and that is why she is the woman that she is today. So it's kind of a short chapter, but it does pack in quite a bit of information. And I want you guys to really focus on the details of this memory or this story that we are hearing about when the three were running away and they had to get away and what happened in those events, because that story does come up again. So it seems, again, not a little bit insignificant, but it does come back up. And that kind of wraps up chapter 57.
And then with chapter 58, we are back at the meat market. However, as we are walking the meat market, we're noticing that no one's really willing to give Hunt or Bryce any information on who could be dealing any synth, not even for gold marks. Hunt, not in the best mood, because he is very aware that they are in fact missing the Medwitch appointment, and he is very, very mad about it. Mm-hmm. Bryce bites his head off for it, as she does. But Hunt calls her out for it. And he says, and I quote, they kind of go into this thing, but he says, "What is it you want exactly? A boyfriend or a mate or a husband who will just sit there with no opinions and agree to everything you say and never dare ask you for anything? Just because I'm male and have an opinion doesn't make me into some psychotic, domineering prick." Which, pop off, King. I was here for it.
He does make a point. That's a fair point.
It is fair. But Bryce does go into how essentially what her mom went through, and a lot of what her mom went through is through some domineering prick. And just that, I say, valid. But
also valid, yes.
Hunt's just trying to be helpful. Throw the dude a bone.
I'm glad that she told him, right? Mm-hmm. I'm glad she gave him some sort of insight to why she is the way that she is when it comes to veneer males, right? So, like, that way at least he has some sort of understanding of why she is so hesitant to take his opinion into consideration and his ideas into consideration.
Mm-hmm. Because I want to say she might have, like, given a little tidbit in previous
Yeah, not a
chapters.
Ton. Just a smidge.
But she also doesn't overshare in general, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but at least it gave him, like, it gave him a kernel, right? Something yeah. to work with. A little chip off the wall that she has built so he can keep picking around. Or picking away at it.
I'm just glad that he called her out just a wee bit.
Right, and I do like that he's getting more comfortable in that, right? Like being able to call her out in a manner where she won't shut immediately down, mm-hmm. right? Like she used to. So I think that this is an ode to their relationship getting stronger.
100%, because I also think this is the first time where they've had an argument where it doesn't end with either her going on a run or him being like, I'll be back mm-hmm. whenever you cool off.
Yeah, exactly.
But as we're getting into Bryce sharing about her mom, we also kind of get into what it was like for Bryce growing up. And Bryce mm-hmm. mentions that how she never dated anyone until she went to CCU because all the human boys idolized Randall and it was unspoken, but they kind of knew that Bryce was practically off limits. And that in itself can be very altering psychologically.
Yeah. Don't go near veneer males. They're bad. None of the human boys are allowed to talk to you or like date you or whatever. Like I can see how that would really harm her growing up. I can see the good intention from the parent's side.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I can see how sheltering her so much from both of those things made it hard for her to make mistakes as a young girl so that when she got into adulthood, she knew what to look for instead of just assuming that everybody was bad.
Yeah, I can see that. I feel like I had a comment, but it went away.
I think I did the thing where I interrupted you again. I'm so sorry.
No.
It's my toxic trait.
No, it's not. I don't know. It's going to come back to me. I'm be like, wait, I found it. But we're going to continue until that thought pops
oh, wait,
right 2 back in my head.
She's going to be like, oh, my God.
Dallas, I remember.
I remember it.
We're just going to move on. And it's going to pop in my head. But as they're walking and as Bryce is sharing a little bit about herself. They do stop at a spot in the meat market, and Hunt actually buys Bryce a white opal, which we learn is for Joy. And he said, you could use some Joy. And Bryce eventually accepts the gift because at first she's like, I don't need it. And he's like, I'm being nice. Take the gift. But she accepts the gift and says that he could use some Joy too. And she places it in her jacket pocket. As they are still walking around the meat market, trying to look for someone to give them answers, Bryce walks up to a teenager selling animal hides and asks the girl if she knows where they can find anything fun around here. And I love this part so much because Bryce once again gets called out and the teenager's like, we already know. Like, we're in this little meat market group chat and people have been telling me that you're walking around and it's this fae male and this angel walking around asking about this drug and it's so funny.
I want to be in the meat market group chat so bad. What do I need to do to get into the meat market group chat?
I want someone – have you ever seen people make TikToks or reels where it's like book characters but it's a group chat? Like, one yes. that I see a bunch is, like, Fourth Wing, and it's, like, Riddick mm-hmm. doing something stupid, and everyone's being like, oh, it's Riddick. And then Zayden's, like, left chat, and someone brings them back in. I want yes. someone to recreate this, but doing
with the
that.
Meat market. Mm-hmm. Yes, someone – we could do it. We could be teenage girl from meat market, sleazy vendor guy.
I don't know how to make it.
Like, I don't know. I need more context of who was in there, of who was yeah. in this group chat. I don't know, but it seems fun, though, and I want to be involved. Now I sound like a pick me girl.
Group chat. Huh?
Now I sound like a pick me girl.
I was not getting that vibe, but okay.
Okay, good. I was like, I want to be in that group. That's funny. No.
I wouldn't. I feel like I would just be like, I'm in the wrong place.
I want to read all the, I want to know all the tea. You would know all of the meat market tea.
I just feel like that they wouldn't actually, I wouldn't feel like that they would gossip about what's happening. I would feel like that they would just mostly be roasting people.
You That's know? My jam.
Then you have I know. Fun in that group chat. You go for
I
it.
I would have fun in the group chat. I don't have to reply. I don't have to say anything. I just want to be there. I just want to read it.
Just lurk in the comments.
Yeah. I'm in a couple group chats where I don't ever talk to them, but I read all the things.
I love that for you.
I, you know, get bored and you're like, what's happening to group chat today? And then sometimes I'll like things. I'll like heart it.
Just to let them know you're there.
Yeah. Dallas is actually reading these messages. She's not talking to us, but she's there. Yes.
Oh, gosh. Well, this teenager, even though the group's chat said don't do it, Bryce is like, you know, it'd really piss your mom off as if, like, you told us what we need to know. And she's like, you know what? I do want to do that. The Same. Teenager the teenager eventually tells Bryce that the Vipe, meaning the Viper Queen, said that she doesn't deal in synth and will and never will, and to go to the river and ask the Myrrh. And then Bryce sends an otter, which is so cute.
Her dream.
To go get Therian to meet her and hunt. And when Therian appears, Bryce asks who is selling synth on the river. And Therian corrects her. And he's like, not in the river, but on the river. Whenever Bryce asks for clarification, she's like, okay, then who is behind dealing the drugs on the river? Mm-hmm. Therian reveals that Danica Fendir was spotted doing a dealing on a boat, and the intel came a day before her death. And that is where chapter 58 ends.
I hate it. So in chapter 59, Bryce was obviously just hit with a blow of information, right? Like, she's like shocked. Danica. Yeah, she's like, not my Danica. Always, right? She always has her back. Danica was selling synth, or maybe buying it, as Therian had stated. So just as the drug hit the markets for the first time, she was spotted on an auxiliary boat in the dead of night being real sketchy with a crate of synth on board. And Bryce is like, maybe she was just confiscating it. I love that Bryce will always try to see the good in Danica and the best side of Danica. But at the same time, we know that Danica, and even she knows that Danica was not perfect. She knows that Danica did all the stupid shit that she did as well. So, like, mm-hmm. at some point, Bryce, we have to start thinking about the fact that our friend, even though she's gone, may have been up to things that weren't necessarily the best choices.
And I really applaud this book for having multiple POVs, because mm-hmm. I don't think I could imagine reading this book if it was solely from Bryce, because she views Danica with such rose-colored glasses mm-hmm. that it would just be like a whole book of unreliable narration.
Yeah, well, and it's interesting, and I don't want to switch too far over to ACOTAR, but I do want to make like one reference, because in most of the books until you get to Silver Flames, it's all of it is from Feyre's perspective. Mm-hmm. And then immediately when you get to Silver Flames, I think a lot of people focus too much on like Nesta and her negative perspective of the inner circle, Rhysand specifically. But I definitely went hard on
Rhysand during Silver Flames.
I think it's so interesting that she does this, where she has like Feyre in the, when she, it's from her perspective, is like, this is the best. These are the best people. This is the best thing. I'm having the best time. And then you with Bryce, where she's like, no, that could never be, like, never, never, never. But then as soon as you see it from someone else, no, Bryce, like with Danica.
Oh.
Bryce is like, no, like Danica would never do this. She would never not, like, she would never not be honest with me. You know what I mean? And then you see it from someone else's perspective, and everybody is seen in a different light immediately. So I feel like that was so intentional by Sarah. Isn't that interesting? Yeah, I don't want to go too far into actor. I just wanted to like cruise over there for a hot moment for a reference, and then I'm going to bring it back. So, yeah, maybe she was confiscating it. I don't know. Bryce knows that Danica would never do that, as she says. But it does explain why the synth was found on Danica's clothing that they had gotten tested. Therian clarifies that it is synthetic magic. It was used for healing originally, but in concentrated doses, it can give Vanir superpowers pretty easily and essentially. So Hunt knows it was not what Bryce wanted to hear, and Bryce asked if there was a reason, if this is the reason that she was killed. Was it the person, was the person who killed her the same person who was summoning the demon and selling the synth? Which I feel like is a pretty fair, like going over, like, I feel like it's a fair look at the evidence. Like, maybe this is truly connected. But also, why would she not tell Bryce all of this? Right? Like, why so much secrets, like, why so many secrets from Bryce? Why not tell her any of these things? And this is something that Bryce is asking herself as well. So Bryce attempts to call Fury, and Fury actually answers this time. Thank you, Fury. She states that she did not need to cross the Haldren to catch the original bomber in the club. And just as a reference before, you guys probably remember this, but just in case, the White Raven was bombed when they were there, and Fury was tasked to find the bombers and close the case, essentially. So she did not need to cross the Haldren to get to it. It was actually the Human Rebellion who did it. But as always, the names and information are classified. But she can confirm she did find them because she is now done with the case. And so Bryce asked her, like, hey, did Danica ever mention synth to you? And Fury got super defensive and was like, who told you about that shit? Which is so interesting, and I think it tells you how serious the synth is, because Fury is, like, cool, calm, collected, like, cool assassin lady all the time. But then when she brings this up to her, she immediately gets heightened. And she's like, how do you even know about this stuff? Right? She says, it's dangerous. And she's saying this almost with, like, fear in her voice, right? So she tells Fury, like, I don't do drugs anymore, and I would never touch that stuff. And I feel like Fury didn't believe her, which it – it makes sense to a point because they haven't spoken, right? Like, mm-hmm. Fury has not answered any of her calls. She hasn't checked in on Bryce. She doesn't know what's happening. And so she doesn't really know where Bryce is at in life these days. All she knows is the last time that she saw Bryce 2 years ago. So I can see why she'd be like, don't touch that stuff. Like, please don't touch it. So Danica did tell Fury about the synth back when she was alive, and she tells Bryce the night that Danica died to stay away from it because someone tried to like tell her about it and sell it to her that night. So Bryce is really upset that Fury never told her that Danica said anything about it. But Danica never told her because, again, we're worried that Bryce is going to try the synth itself for herself, because she like takes she would take literally anything she can get her hands on. And again, it is synthetic magic, and Bryce has no magic at this point in time, because again, she hasn't made the drop. So what would happen to her as a half fey, half human? So Danica's goal was to protect Bryce even from herself. And this is coming from Fury, which I think is, again, really hard for Bryce to hear. So Bryce confirms that she would never touch synth. She's never going to. And she does she confirms with Fury that Fury will be at the summit that is still coming up very quickly. No clarification, though, as to why she will be there. But she does invite Bryce to lunch. She's like, hey, like, I'll be in town. I'm going to be at the summit if you want to get lunch. And she's like, I will see you when I'm in town. Like, I promise. But Bryce is like, it, basically, like, Fury can go to hell. She's over it. She doesn't really want to see her at this point in time. Yeah, I get it, because again, Fury has not been there for Bryce at all, and Fury is doing Fury things, dealing with it in her own Fury way, I guess. So I can see why, like, I can see why Bryce would be upset with this phone call, because that's a lot to hear, right? Because it's a lot of, hey, you weren't there for me, I'm feeling all these things, I'm not even this person anymore. But I can see how it would force Bryce to do a lot of like self-reflection about how her friends truly saw her when they were alive.
Well, I also feel like because Fury, we don't know a lot about her, but mm-hmm. because she does so many unknown things behind the scenes, I am 100% confident that, again, with whatever Fury does, I highly doubt that whoever or whatever she works for did not give her like time to even deal with her own emotions. So it was probably like, hey, this thing happened. There was this monster that attacked the pack. They're gone. I need you to go do this thing. You know what I'm saying?
Yes. Yes. I know what you're saying. And part of me wants to agree, but then part of me also says, does Fury truly work for anybody? Right?
Like,
is
she
there
has to.
I don't know. I don't know. I just wish we knew more about her. Part of me, I'm 50-50. Part of me is like, yes, she works for someone. She answers to somebody. And then part of me is like, she's so mysterious and like maybe powerful that part of me feels like she answers to nobody.
I just feel like the way that some things are worded, it seems like she does work for someone or something.
She might, yeah, maybe she works for somebody, but does she actually answer to them, right? If she says, I'm taking a week off because my friends died, if someone told her no, I just don't know if that would, like, I don't know if there's people out there that tell Fury no. And I'm just guessing, like, from the from her vibe. I don't know. I'm 50-50. I am desperately waiting for more information on Fury from Sarah. In the next Crescent City book, if we don't have a POV or something about Fury, I don't know what I'll do. I'll suffer, but I'll be mad about it. So
you want to know my insane guess as to who I think the book is going to be about next? Or the next book?
Yeah, we talked about it before. Has your opinion changed? Do you not think it's going to be about Therion?
I think it is going to be about Therion. And I feel like Fury also might play a big part in it.
She has to. There's too many breadcrumbs.
Too many breadcrumbs. And with how the third book ends, I feel like they're going to need someone with a straight head to be like, this is what we're doing.
Yeah. Agreed. I think it'll be about Therion for the most part. Yes. So Bryce, once she gets off with the phone with Fury, she calls Rune and gets right to the point. And she asks, did the Medwitch that Rune was meeting offer any information on how it got onto the streets, like the Sin? The answer is no. And the Medwitch is more concerned about its origins and the Crystallis venom that was tested that she got from Hunt. She thinks that the healing magic in her can act as a stabilizer, essentially to make an antidote but she will need more venom to find out. So she needs the Crystallis demon venom to then work her magic in it to create an antidote. So the research papers that are out in the world, basically from Redner Industries, has been going for over back 10 years, way before Danica was even involved in working at the company. Small amounts of the synth were released for the Medwitches to use to heal. But the question is, what if a shipment was leaked 2 years ago? And what if Danica was sent out to find it? And what if Danica found out that they wanted to use it to repair the horn and they killed her for it because she found out too much information? Which honestly, when I was reading this, I was like, oh, that makes sense in my little detective brain, right? That you are now a loose end. You were sent out because you were powerful and you're strong, but then you found out too much and then they had to silence you. So like that makes sense to me. So Rune brings up that it is good that she is still looking into all of this stuff for the pack and for Danica. And we learn that Danica almost kicked Rune's ass at one point in time when they had met in the past, and Bryce had no idea that this happened. So they ran into each other back in the day and they fought over Bryce. Rune told her to tell Bryce he was sorry, and she said absolutely not. And she never told Bryce about this encounter. But even without Danica making the drop, she still gave Rune a run for his money in that fight, which like tells you how powerful Danica truly was. And that wraps up chapter 59.
Justice for Rune. I feel like I just feel like there's so many times where he's just trying to be a good big brother and people just keep on shutting it down. They're like, no, it's a good attempt, but no.
You're not wrong, Justice
like
for Rune.
First his dad, now Danica. Mm-hmm.
I feel like I understand Danica, and I don't know very like too many things about zodiac signs, but like I'm a Sagittarius, but growing up I had a Scorpio as a best friend. And like Scorpios are like tough and loyal and kind of scary, and like they have no filter, no hold bars. So I had like this, and I'm a pretty short, like I'm like 5'2". I'm a very short girl, but my best friend who is a Scorpio was shorter than me, but she was like my big dog energy. Right. And so she would be up in anybody's face. And so if I had somebody who I didn't get along with, who I had a falling out with, and they went to her and was like, tell Dallas I'm sorry, she'd be like, no, not happen. She would do what Danica did. Right. So I'm like, I get it. But I also agree, justice for Rune, bro is trying so hard to make amends for a past mistake that he has made. Like, I agree that it is time to forgive Rune and move on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bro is trying.
Bro is trying.
But bro is trying so hard.
We keep learning more about Danica and Redner in chapter 60. Bryce is currently trying to use her computer hacking skills and get into Danica's old security division account for Redner Enterprise. We learned that Danica worked part-time for Redner, and that is who she was selling synth for. So at this point in time, here's what we know about the case so far from Bryce, and this is a direct quote from the book. So according to Bryce, this is what we know. The horn could possibly be healed by the synth in a large enough dose. Synthetic magic has obsidian salt as one of its ingredients. The Crystallis can be summoned by obsidian salt. The Crystallis demon was bred to hunt the horn. The Crystallis can eat away at magic. The Mad Witch wants Venom to test if it's possible to create an antidote to the synth with her magic or something. Mm-hmm. A lot of puzzle pieces.
Yeah, there's a lot going on.
And with that information, Hunt's like, you know what? I like the idea of helping the Mad Witch create an antidote, especially if this drug is increasing in popularity and starts to spread not only amongst the Crescent City population, but also amongst different territories. So they try to brainstorm how to get Venom to the Mad Witch. And Bryce proposes summoning the demon, and Hunt finds it to be too much of a risk. Rightly so. And Bryce says, I can handle myself. But then Hunt says, I can't handle myself, Quinlan, if something happened to you. And that's where you giggle and you kick your feet because it's
oh, cute. Sweet Hunt.
My baby boy. They have that little moment, and then Naomi texts Hunt about some Legion stuff. And before he heads out, he whispers in – this part was weird. He whispers in Bryce's ear, JJ would be proud of you. And I'm like, you were doing so well. Like, I'm fine. I won't be fine if something happens to you. Side note, JJ would be so proud of you. That's weird. That's weird.
Is it weird?
That's weird. That took me out of it. I was like, cutesy, like, he's going to freak out if something happens to her. And then he's like, oh, by the way, your stuffed unicorn that you prize, like your childhood possession.
Like a little action figure. Yeah, Jelly Jubilee would be proud of you.
That's like me saying, my little dragon's proud of me. Like, that's – like, after someone does, like, a confession.
My little dragon's and then they proud bring of in, you.
It's weird.
I don't know if I got the ick. Maybe I didn't think about it too much. I was like, well, okay, cute. Like, moving on.
No.
You know that if a hopeless romantic Madison gets the ick, that it's icky.
Listen, I've been discovering quite a few new icks recently where I'm, like, reading things and there will be, like, specific words. I'm like, new ick unlocked? Question mark?
Oh.
Where I'm like, okay, I didn't think that would affect
me. What is
me.
One of the words? Tell me one of the words.
Oh, now I gotta go grab my Kindle. Hold on. Okay, so this isn't an ick, but this is, like, another example of, like, oh, I like where we're going, but then they say something, like, completely left field, and I'm like, what? So this is, like, well, you don't really need context, you just need to know the sentence. So this is the MMC talking, and he's essentially it's like Insta-lust, and he's doing the Insta-lust things. Mm-hmm. And the quote is, "I'm imagining what she'd look like spread out with my head between her legs and if she sleeps with her socks on." So I'm like, first half, I'm here for it. Second half, weird. Because I literally, I highlighted it and I was like, oh, so you're a psychopath. I was like, you lost me the second
part. Do men think about that? Is that something that they think about? I don't know.
I just think it was a weird sentence choice.
Yeah, that's interesting. I don't know how I feel about that. I can see how that would give me the ick.
And then I won't say the full sentence, but I'll just say the word. So you know how there's like specific ick words? Like a popular one that I hate is anytime an author says seed.
Yeah.
Does that not give you the ick?
No, I don't think so.
Really?
Yeah, I don't think so.
Wow.
I'm pretty sure I just heard that in a book this week that I was listening to.
I feel like I hear it too much in books.
What is a counter word that is acceptable to you?
Just use the name.
Okay, fair.
Because, like, you also know how sometimes they'll, in addition to that, same wheelhouse, they'll say ropes of. Have you heard that one?
No. Can you use it in a sentence?
I sure won't. Use your imagination. But there's, like, that, which is.
No, I don't know what that means.
You,
ropes of what? Ropes of what?
Oh my.
I don't know what you're saying.
Oh, you sweet summer child. I don't want to say it.
Read it.
So it's not this sentence, but like, for example, I'm going to just pair ropes of and then just tack seed on to the end of that. And that makes a full sentence. And that should be the face you make.
I don't think I've ever read that.
Wow.
I don't think I've ever read ropes of in a book.
Unfortunately, I have. But we got a new word, and it's cords. Cords of.
Interesting. Okay. And
then another one. No, we're not going to go into it.
I don't know what book you're reading, but if all of these things are in one book, I feel like maybe we should not be reading that book if it gives you so many icks.
No, this one only gave me like two potential icks. The ropes and the seed are like.
Isn't that one ick? Or that's two icks. That's two icks.
Many people have many icks.
Hmm.
Like, I know one of my friends, we would always pick on her because, like, her ick word is she hated the word moist.
That's very common.
That doesn't bother me.
That's, like, super common. It doesn't bother me either.
Someone made a post, like, asking people what their icks were or their ick words. And, like, there was someone. It's not an ick. But I could, like, see how it could be anatomically frustrating. But, like, her ick was whenever people use the term the apex of her thighs, I think. And they're like, no, that's not correct. Like, anatomically.
That's so silly. Like, you're reading a romance book.
Yeah.
Just be in it.
But I can kind of get it. Like, not that one. But, like. Words are important.
They are, but like at the same time, there's only so many words. After a while, you run out.
No, you pull out thesaurus. thesaurus. Listen, I've been sitting on a computer for 5 hours. I'm tired.
That's fair. This so are these authors
that is are just my trying. Lifeline.
That's so funny.
No, because on Google Word, you can highlight the word and be like, thesaurus. Give me some synonyms.
Yeah, I am not an author. I'm not a writer. I cannot relate to any of these issues. Chords of.
I'm not claiming to be a fighter.
I want to know for our listeners, what are your icks in a book? What words or sentences just make you cringe? And then are they, like, are there layers, right? So, like, this one made me cringe, but I'm still going to keep reading. Or, like, this one made me cringe, and now I literally have to DNF this book.
I don't think one word could make – the only time I've ever considered DNFing due to words is if I catch grammatical errors. And it's just, like, mm-hmm. So close and, like, not like, oh, it's one fun, like, oh, I have a copy that's misprinted. Yeah. Like, that's fun. It's like, no, this is a whole book of misprints.
Yeah, that's fair. I have not experienced that, so I don't know what I would do. I don't think I've DNF'd a book because of any icks. I don't DNF a lot of books. Like, I really do try to, like, commit. But I would like to know for our followers and our listeners, like, I want to know their opinions. I want to know where we're at on this with them.
I DNF'd my first book. I had to be encouraged to DNF because I hate DNFing because I feel guilty.
What'd you DNF? So I,
huh?
What did you DNF?
I'm not going to say the name of the book.
I told you mine. It's okay to DNF a book. It's okay. Yeah?
I don't remember you telling me a name.
Mm-hmm. The Book of Azrael.
Oh, I don't know you DNF'd that.
I did. Yeah. I finished the first book.
Well, I'm not going to say this one because I got it at an event and the author did a dedication in it. Or not a dedication, but, like, she signed it with, like, my name. Like, she personalized it. So that makes me feel even more bad.
Okay, fair, fine. Can you tell me the book and we'll edit it out?
I can text you the name. But essentially, like, the whole entire time, the way that they spoke – it's modern times, but it was, like, very Jane Austen-y, the way that they spoke.
Okay. Yeah.
And I, like, listen, I love billionaire romances. We love to see it happen. However, in this book, they kept on name-dropping brands so much. Like, I'm wearing this Dior, outfit, like, by so-and-so, and I'm wearing this type of watch, and I have 6 cars, but I'm going to name every single brand of car, as well as my 2 brands of motorcycles. I'm like, ew. I don't care, and I don't know what they look like.
No, he has 6 top-of-the-line cars. Move on.
6 sport cars, 2 bikes.
Yeah.
That's all I need to know. But it's like...
best cars money can buy.
Like, I understand details, but I don't care what brand you have. Mm-mm. I don't That's care. Fair.
Yeah. That's fair. I feel like the Book of Azrael, I think, is 4 books now. Like, the latest book is just coming out. And I'm like, I don't know. This book could have been done in 1 book. This should have been a book. By the third, I was like,
that's how I feel about anymore. The so Never bored. King. I only read book 1. And I was like... like, it wasn't bad. And this was whenever I was in my I need plot phase, not spice, because it's pretty much all spice. But yeah. They had such amazing plot points and they would just brush it under the rug. I'm like, no, 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 let's go back to that because that was cool. Mm-hmm. And you, like, learn more about the little crumb of a plot point through the other 4 or 3 books aside from book 1. And I'm like... just put it all in 1 book. Mm-hmm. And so many other people agree that that could have been just 1 book and not 4. Yeah.
And I really liked The Prince of Azrael. Like I really liked the first book. I read it in, like, a couple days.
Isn't but that then one vampire?
So, yes, essentially. Ish. There's a little bit of that in there. But she is, like, I have to remember, she turns into a monster. Like, she is the bad guy.
Interesting. And then the guy is with me and vampires, but for whatever reason they kind of give me the ick.
The being a vampire is not, like, the basis of the book. They're in the book, yes.
Okay.
But it's not the basis of it.
Interesting. We'll see.
Like I really liked the first book. And then I think I finished, I want to say I finished the second book. I think it was the third book. I was like, oh, we're still doing this. We're still doing this. We're still in the same issue that we've been in this whole time. Okay, cool, cool. I'm over it.
That was me reading Kingdom of the Wicked. I essentially hate read that book because I was told it was going to get better. It did not get better. And the FMC was so annoying because she would get mad at herself for not asking the right questions. And essentially it's kind of like this in the sense of like the book starts with her sister getting murdered. So she's trying to figure out who killed her sister. And she finds her sister's diary and she's like reading the diary and she reads up to the day before her sister was murdered. And she's like, oh, I don't want to read that and relive that. I'm like, no, that's the page you need to read so you can figure out who she was with, where she was. I was so mad. And she was so mean to the MMC too. Like, okay. So the whole Kingdom of the Wicked revolves around like a big theme is the seven deadly sins. And so like the MMC of that book, like your sin is wrath. And I was telling my friend, I was like, I feel like the whole point of this book was to make me feel wrath. Mm-hmm. And it accomplished that because
it did its job.
I was not having a fun time. I was so mad.
I hate it. We got so far off topic.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if Jelly Jubilee gave me the ick in this, but I can see why it gave you the ick.
Not gave me the ick. It just checked me out. Like, I was like, we're in a cutesy moment, and then weird comment.
It's a weird comment here. Hee-hee-hee.
But the next part that I'm going to talk about, it's not important, but I thought it was really cute and fun. But it's essentially the next morning, and Bryce wakes up having had start her cycle, and Hunt, being a veneer, can smell it because
I hate that.
I would also hate that. That's a no feels like such a violation. I'm like, don't smell what's going on.
Yeah.
But he does it in a kind of cute way because he's like minding his own business. He's making breakfast and his head like whips towards her and he's like, you're bleeding. And Bryce is like, every 3 months, like clockwork.
Yeah.
And then he's like, you need anything? And she's like, no, I took something. But Hunt and Lorcan are menstrual cycle kings.
Two of my favorite men.
Kale Westfall, Lorcan take for notes. Life.
Yes. Other Fae males be like these men.
Kale's not Fae.
No, but he's I don't like to think about Kale because I don't like him.
He's my sweet little toddler angel baby boy.
Yeah,
he's my book baby toddler. Boy,
little not man, whiny baby boy. We don't have time in this episode to fight over Kale, but we will. We can.
Leave it in the comments if you want us to debate about Kale in a future episode. Do you want us to fight over Kale? Listen, we're not going to get into it. It's fine.
I will. I have thoughts. They're not great.
Please say you want to go into this later.
Madison's like, moving on. Fight.
Put me in, coach. I'm ready. Let me go.
The one rule about Fight Club. Take off my earrings. Don't talk about Fight Club.
Fighting about
Kale another day.
Yes.
Moving Bryce on.
Bryce is at work. She's working with Lily. And they're talking about this fun thing that's new to the office. Lily says, he wants to kill me, I can tell. And Bryce says, I doubt you'd make a very satisfying snack, not even a mouthful. And Lily says, he knows that if I'm submerged in water, I'm dead in a heartbeat. And essentially, what they're talking about is Jezebah bought this creature called a Nock. Yeah. And Bryce kind of clicks together that this is simply another form of torture for Lily. And it is meant to make sure that Lily stays in line as much so as Lily makes sure that the books stay in line. Mm-hmm. But, like, why would you want that thing?
Yeah, I don't think anything scares Jezebah. And also she doesn't have to like be there and or deal with it. So she probably didn't even see it. So
yeah.
But I do think she be seeing Lily on the couch all day watching TV.
Listen, she's so
It's not like the books are escaping. Like
I was about to say, she's still doing her job.
Job done. What else is she supposed to do down there?
I don't know.
Sweep? I don't know. Like that's her job. She's doing it. No books have left the library. So I don't know.
As we're talking about this really creepy looking thing, Lily warns Bibi to be careful when she feeds the Nock, and Bryce remarks how the Nock stays close to the bottom and doesn't dare lift its head out of the water, because if it does, then air is fatal. We also know that the feeding hatch is so small that the only concern Bryce would have is just the Nock's arms. Mm-hmm. Just remember the Nock. I'm going to just
remember
say that.
Remember the Nock. Remember it.
Remember the Nock.
I can't tell you why. Wink, wink.
Yeah. I feel like there's like so many things in this book to just gloss over. And it's like, wait a minute. You were relevant.
And that's why we are here. To tell you what is relevant and what is not.
Saying what's relevant without being like, hey, by the way, spoiler.
Yep.
Give
you a little wink.
But as we're talking, they dropped this like little powerful quote moment that I loved, because I just feel like it aged very well, and I feel like it'd be even very applicable today. But so Lily says, why does she collect us at all? Am I not a person too? Why do they insist on this? And Bryce says, because we live in a republic that has decided that threats to its order have to be punished, and punished so thoroughly that it makes others hesitate to rebel too. And if that ain't the theme of most fantasy books, and if that ain't just a little crumb of truth to it, like it's fun, but also like very powerful, and I'm here for it.
You're not wrong. You are right.
Lily then asks if Bryce has ever thought what the world would be like without the Asteri, and Bryce shuts that down so fast. Mm-hmm. Not because she likes the Asteri, but because there are always cameras watching.
And audio.
As the song goes, I always feel like somebody's watching because someone is. Hello to the little CIA agents watching me in Dallas record our episodes. Have you ever heard people say that?
Yes. I just didn't think you would say.
No, because I think about it all the time. Because especially whenever TikTok was or did get shut down for like a couple of hours, people always make the joke. They're like, no, what is my CIA agent going to watch now that I'm gone? Like, he can't see my For You page.
Oh my God. That's...
It's funny.
Well, I hope that they like our episodes. I like to think that the CIA agent that's watching likes our episodes.
He's like, you know what? That's a good point.
Yeah, good point. Good point. They're actually reading the book now.
That would be iconic.
And they're obviously like, what's Crescent City?
Oh my gosh. I could just see like a CIA agent like watching First Timer and be like, I know I'm supposed to be watching, but they're about to go into the House of Theories and Lore, so I'm just going to, like, not do my job for, like, a couple minutes real
quick.
Yeah,
I just have to, like, mute it
because I'm finished the series. I'm invested.
Yes. I like to think that they're invested in our podcasts and our books.
Moving on. After work, Hunt follows Bryce as she makes her way to a bakery, then to a wooden park bench where Hunt asks, what's up? Because you can tell that she's kind of being a little off because he reads her so well. And she says that Danica would have been 25 today. And I was flabbergasted. It like, this is another thing that like I'm reading and then like dropping a character's age in some moments like kind of also takes me out. Because, like, I'm just barely now older than Danica by, like, a couple months. But, like, even whenever I was doing my reread of the Fourth Wing series, I forgot how old Zayden is in book one. But I was like, oh, I'm older than Zayden? gross. I don't like that. That makes me uncomfy.
You don't want to be a cougar?
No, like the same thing. My favorite thing to see is people making comments about Robert Irwin. And people be yes. like, I'm going to go sit in the corner because I forgot that he was literally born in the 2000s.
Yes, he's like 20. He's like 20 years old.
He's 21.
Like, and they're like, I'm just going to put myself in timeout.
Yeah, he made the comment on whenever we recorded it yesterday was – or not yesterday, but this past Tuesday was the Wicked night on Dancing with the Stars. And he mentioned how for his 21st birthday, they rented out a movie theater to go watch the first Wicked movie. And he's like, yeah, for my 21st birthday. I'm like, 21st.
Oh, happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Robert Irwin. I feel old.
Feel old every day. Yes, that's fair.
Ain't that the truth?
Dude, eventually you'll just learn to embrace it.
One of our coworkers, every time we had a specific shift where we would work together all day, would randomly just like drop the information that I didn't need whenever we'd be listening to music as we're doing our thing. She'd be like, oh, by the way, this song is like so-and-so years old today. I'm like, stop making me feel old.
What a weird fact to know. Good for them. Like that lovely useless information.
No, because it makes me feel old all the time. And I'm like, shh, it's fine.
I have been waiting to be 30 years old for so many years.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Being in my 20s was the worst.
Yeah.
I did not have a good time.
Yeah, I vouch. I can, yeah. Mm-hmm. That resonates with me.
Yeah. I'm like, it's cool. I'm ready to be old lady.
I'm already old lady and young person body. I've been old lady and young person body for a long time.
Yeah. Don't fight it. Just be like, yeah, girl, I'm old.
I'm
wise.
I'm in my grandmother era.
Call me grandmama.
Grandmama. I always tell my friend whenever I like first started driving us because she doesn't drive yet and we'd go to Barnes & Noble, I'd be like, okay, everything you heard about Florida drivers, put it out of your head because I drive like a grandmother.
Oh, yeah. I drive.
I don't like now, but I used to.
I drive like the grandma who probably shouldn't have her license anymore.
No, I used to drive like the grandma that you would honk at for going too slow. But now I've been seasoned since living
in Orlando. You moved to Florida and things change.
Because even my sister who like lived in Texas for a while, like she knew because Texas, that's a whole other breed of driving.
Mm-hmm, it sure is.
Because my sister, she used to never like to drive with me because of my grandmother and tendencies. But now she's like, you're doing some things that like even I wouldn't do. I'm like, you gotta adapt. Survival of the fittest.
Otherwise, people are gonna road rage at you. And that's scarier than speeding.
Yeah.
Go or get gone. That's my line. Every morning. I like go or get gone, dude.
I like the bumper stickers. They're like, don't honk at me, I'll cry.
Good. Get out of my way. Beep beep. Move over. It's so bad. I'm not a good driver. I don't claim to be a good driver. We are so far off topic today. What is happening to us?
It's right. back to the book. Back to a sad moment. Hunt can kind of tell that something is up with Danica, with Bryce. And Bryce reveals that today was, in fact, Danica's birthday. And Bryce reveals that she bought chocolate croissants from the bakery because they were Danica's favorite. Bryce remarks how she hates the idea of everyone being able to move on from Danica's death, but she just can't seem to do that. And Hunt is like, you know what? I can kind of relate because he recalls how whenever Shahar fell, it took him nearly 50 years to come to terms with it. And that is a long, stinking time.
Yeah, it sure is.
Bryce asks Hunt if he still loves her. And Hunt responds saying that after his mother's death, Shahar brought him out of his grief and made him feel alive again. And he'll always love her for that. I know you haven't read Deep End, but for those who have read Deep End, it really reminded me of Penelope because she and another character kind of have like that same bond of like, I love you because you helped me get out of this really hard thing. Mm-hmm. Now that is always a positive thing to like latch onto someone for those reasons. But like,
yeah.
To Your Deep End. You know where I'm going with this. Mm-hmm. Whenever Bryce does open up the box of croissants, she finds the word trash written on one of the pastries, and Hunt sees it, and he is livid. Bryce begs him to just throw it out, but he is already airborne and knows exactly who the culprit is based on who used the same word at the den not too long ago. Mm-hmm. Hunt confronts Amelie at a bar in Moonwood for writing trash on Bryce's chocolate croissant on Danica's birthday. He pins her to the wall by her throat, lightning wrapped around it in a different context. I'm here for it. Yep. And he told her to leave Bryce alone. Ethan asks, what did Amelie do? And Hunt says, don't play dumb, Holstrom. Ask mm-hmm. your alpha. And what I want to know is, how does one become an alpha, and why isn't it Ethan? Because, like, is it based off of your power or just based off of status? Because in the very previous chapters, whenever we're learning about Connor and Ethan, their whole dynamic, we learn how powerful Connor was and how, mm-hmm. like, if Danica wasn't born, then Connor would have been alpha of the Pack of Devils. But he, like, obviously Danica is in charge and mm-hmm. he respects that. But we also learn that whenever Ethan came into his power, he was so close to Connor's power level. And so I'm like, how is he not above Amelie?
I think it's a mixture, right? Like, your strength, your power level, your heritage.
I think it's popularity at this point, because I'm like,
how you are as a leader.
Because even, like, Amelie's sister, she wasn't an alpha originally, I don't mm-hmm. believe. But yeah, Amelie's an alpha and Ethan's not.
It could be popularity. That could be a part of it, right? Mm-hmm. But I definitely think it's a combination. But, like, has Ethan ever actually stepped up and shown that he's ready to be an alpha?
Listen, homeboy was a leader on the sunball fields, okay? He was captain.
He was. And then he quit. So,
because of grief, okay?
Does an alpha quit because of grief? No, that's not alpha material. I'm not saying it's not justified. I'm just saying alphas don't be like, I'm sad now, I'm quitting.
Ethan, I'd vote for you for alpha.
I do not vote for Ethan at this point in time to be alpha.
I'll text Ethan 10 times to the number. It's a Dancing with the Stars thing. As Hunt and Bryce are kind of talking after all this thing, and after they get out of the bar, because Hunt very clearly messed up, mm-hmm. They're kind of talking with one another, and Hunt says, you're my mirror, and Bryce says, yes. And this reminds me of an ACOTAR whenever Cassian is kind of, oh, what's the direct wording? He says something along the lines of, I know what you are, and I've known for a long time now. It's like whenever they're acknowledging their bond, and mm-hmm. Nesta essentially just says yes. So kind of like in the same way. They make me very happy.
Anything with Nesta and Cassian makes me happy.
Love them.
They're my favorite.
The chapter ends the next morning with Bryce texting Jezebel that she has an appointment at the Med Witch's office. And then she walks into the kitchen to tell Hunt she knows exactly where they can get some venom. And that mm-hmm. is where the chapter ends.
Yes. So chapter 61, we are back at the Medwitch clinic to meet with the witch that has basically been around lately at all the crime scenes, things like that. So Bryce is there to finally have her leg looked at and hopefully get it healed. And Hunt ended up going back in the room with them. So once the Medwitch looks at the wound, she has some serious questions and concerns on her face. Basically, how the fuck is Bryce walking, right? How is she walking around living every day with this wound, because it has to hurt being full, literally still full of venom for 2 years. And it's so deep that the venom is literally in her bone at this point in time. So the witch will be able to use the venom to make another batch of antidote. And she asked if Hunt was there for this attack. He confirms that he was, and he showed up 3 minutes after the attack, and he was the one who stapled Bryce's legs like back together. Because she never fully got it healed, that's why it looks as gruesome as it does. Bryce never knew this fact and found out in this moment that Hunt was at the scene. Because obviously she was like on some stuff. She was, you know, adrenaline, shock, all the things. So she like didn't really comprehend what had happened. Bryce wanted her leg to hurt as she explained to the witch why she never got it fixed, but she's here now, right? Like we talked about, like emotionally, she needed to still feel that pain, but now it's time for it to heal and move on to the next chapter. So now this is where the witch states once again that she was trained by very old tutors who have taught her the old ways of healing and magic. These are important details, my friends. They have to open up the wound because the venom is too deep for the leeches to suck it out. So like if we remember when Hunt got injured, she put the leeches on and it got rid of it pretty quickly. But this one is too impacted. So she says that this venom is literally like an organism and it is feeding off of Bryce. While the witch is attempting to extract it from Bryce, she says it may try to convince her to make the witch stop. And I'm putting that straight into the House of Theories and Lore.
As you should.
And that's all I'm saying. The witch mentions the tattoo on Bryce's back, and she says she doesn't recognize the text and asks what it means. And she obviously says, through love, all is possible. She then asks if the halo on Hunt's forehead hurts him, and he says only when it was being put on. Because we know that it was put on by witches. She doesn't approve of the halo and thinks the practice should be done with altogether. Hunt asks if she wants to take the halo off for him, haha, lol, and she freezes. And then she goes, what would you do if I did? Would you punish those who have held you captive? And it was such a like a tense, awkward moment because he was like, lol, you want to take the halo off? And she's like, bet. What if I did? Well, what are you going to do? I can. Right? So like
roll up my sleeves.
Yeah, it was a weird moment. And he's like, no, no, no. I'm not here to talk about this tattoo. But it was all over his face. Like the question there was there, right? He would kill every single one of them who did this to him. He would annihilate them all. So with all the waivers signed, they are ready to go and the extrication has started. So as the procedure started, Bryce started to remember Hunt being at the incident and what he was saying. He says, I got you. I've got you. As the witch points to the screen in shock, she says, I don't understand again how you are walking. With a nervous breath, she tells Bryce to hold as still as possible. This was truly the worst pain Bryce has ever felt. She says it felt like acid on her skin. Which I have nothing to compare this to. Like, I just have to think about the worst pain imaginable and just think that it was worse than that. Is really, like, all I've got. So Hunt says when they got to the alley that night 2 years ago that she was bleeding everywhere, but she wouldn't let anybody near her. She was only protecting the angel that was injured next to her. And until everybody verified themselves, she was like, you're not coming near us until you show me exactly who you are. Even though she was, like, bleeding out and super injured and in pain, right? So Hunt respected her for this, and he told her that's why he gave her such a hard time when they first met, because he was afraid of getting too close to her because he always knew who she really was and refused to accept it, which was like a pretty big moment for Hunt and Bryce, honestly. So once the pain was gone, Bryce looked at her wound, open and gross and bloody. And above it, a warmish-looking thing was being held by the witch's magic. It moved like it was a living being, searching for an exit as it was put into the jar. House of Theories and Lore. That's all I'm saying. So right now, the witch has to use her magic to stabilize the venom to create an antidote. The goal is to take herself out of the equation. That way, anybody can use the antidote without her being there. With this latest test that she did, it looks like we are now in, like, it's a success. She can now do it. And that ends chapter 61.
I think this chapter might be I think it might be my favorite, like, Hunt and Bryce moment, aside from the shower scene.
Oh, okay. All right.
Because especially it. Whenever you listen to the graphic audio, just the emotion and mm-hmm. him being there for her. Because yeah. even like my friend and I, we had a conversation about this. And I don't know if it's a micro trope of like, she's going through like a procedure. But like the trope where it's like sick person caretaker. Because me and my friend, who we have our own illnesses that we deal with, and we were talking about this one day, and she's like, is it weird that I like that trope? I'm like, no, because like sometimes in your worst moment, like you just want someone, mm-hmm. like, I mean, I have my family. My family has been there for me, and same with her. But I'm like, sometimes you just want like that extra person that's like not mm-hmm. required to do yeah, anything.
The but, caretaker like, they trope, choose for sure.
to.
Yep.
So this that makes one, sense. I liked it so much.
That's fair.
And he calls her sweetheart again.
I'm okay with it now.
I've got he you, did. Sweetheart.
Because he did. He meant it.
I feel like other times he's meant it too. The first one, no. But this he gets the one. First time.
He gets one pass.
Because the first time was cocky. I still liked it though.
Round and round. The hopeless just romantic.
Fine. I'm just a sucker for a good pet name. Chapter 62 starts after the appointment. And we get, I believe it's Jezebel threat number 9. Bryce texts Jezebel that she needs the rest of the day off, which Jezebel grants. However, she tells Bryce to be in first thing in the morning or risk being turned into a donkey. And I'm not going to say my comment, but do you see the comment that I wrote in my notes?
I want to read it.
You can read it. You can read it on my behalf.
Okay. So in the notes, Madison wrote, I feel like the sarcastic queen in me would say something like, no need to be an ass. Can you imagine if she would have told Jessica, no need to be an ass?
I mean, no one would, but like.
That'd be so funny, though.
It would have been such a
good I would have laughed. Oh, no, I would have laughed. 100%. Hands down.
Thank you.
That's
I
a good
appreciate
one.
It. Thank you. After Bryce texts Jessica and they get all that situated, no threats necessary, Micah summons Bryce and Hunt to meet with him. And apparently Sabine and Amelie. And essentially, once they get there, they are talking of Hunt needing to be punished for attacking Amelie via something called the living death, which is whenever angels get their wings cut off, only for them to regrow several weeks later.
Yep.
Because as this is going down, like, Sabine... the little gem she is like really pushing for a punishment. And Amelie's like, you know mm-hmm. what? I'm actually good. Like, I don't like where yeah. this is going. Like, mm-hmm. it's not necessary. But Sabine demands it for not only Hunt attacking Amelie, but also for accusing Sabine for killing Danica. Mm-hmm. So they have people restrain Hunt and they do the living death, which broke my heart, especially listening to the graphic audio whenever you get like the extra little details that really puts that emotion.
I don't know if that's for me. I had a hard enough time listening to Lauren say it on the audiobook.
Because there are like certain moments, like even though this is a big moment, just like the dramatized version, just
yeah,
it adds that extra oomph, that
I don't know,
that extra emotional damage. Ugh.
No.
But essentially once the wings are off, it's like Hunt has lost a part of himself. So he is going into shock. He's bleeding out. He is checked out, rightly so. And as he's just kind of there, Bryce calls Sabine a disgrace to wolves and that she didn't deserve Danica. Sabine then comments that she went to the Underking to speak with Danica's energy in the sleeping city. Sabine reveals that Danica refused to speak to her and finds out that Bryce traded her spot in the Bone Quarter for Danica in case she was denied access. And now Danica is living in eternity ashamed. That's kind of where that little confrontation ends. When Sabine and Amelie leave, Hunt is bandaged up by some medwitches, but no magic is allowed to be used. Otherwise, that would not solidify the punishment. That would be like, if they used anything, it'd be like slapping someone on the hand. Like, that's not going to do anything. Bryce then texts Ethan to tell Amelie that Connor was never interested in her because he knew what a piece of trash she was, and for him to tell Sabine that the next time Bryce sees her, that she will kill her. Mm-hmm. And that is where we end this final chapter.
It was such a rough chapter to listen to.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Gracious. Yeah. No, that's wild. So thank you for joining us on this very emotional guided tour through Crescent City today. That was nuts. As normal, if you guys have not read this and you're not ready for spoilers for the Massverse, you will exit here. Thank you for joining us. We appreciate you listening. Please make sure to rate our show so other way others can listen to it as well. And if you are ready for it, here we go. House of Theories and Lore. Welcome to the House of Theories and Lore. I have one specific topic that I want to talk about today. The one thing I want to start on is the Crystallos Venom. And I think it's so weird how similar it is to the, like, the how the Valg work in Throne of Glass. So, before Bryce gets the venom removed, the witch is, like, attempting to extract it. And she says that it may try to convince Bryce to make the witch stop. Which I hoped that we would get more detail on that. Like, it would actually do that to Bryce. But I don't think that it did that hard. Or if it did, she was resilient, right?
I think because Hunt was doing his job and distracting her.
I think it would have been cool to get a scene where it was, like, trying to make Bryce stop the situation. We talked about how painful it was, right? Like, we read about how it felt like acid on her skin. But I thought it would have been interesting to get a scene where it attempts to convince her to do otherwise.
I feel like if Hunt wasn't in the room, then maybe.
Probably. I mean, you're probably right. It would just, I just think it would have been cool to have that.
I don't know. You know what I mean? Listen. I love Kale. But Bryce isn't one to complain. So I feel like that's very in, like, Kale's mannerisms. He was also very down in the dumps. Again, I love him, but, like, just him and Irene, this little parasite's attacking him and is trying to convince her to stop Irene. But Bryce, she's like, no one or nothing's going to tell me what I can and cannot do. So even, like, I feel like if this parasite was trying to convince Bryce to, like, hey, like, tell the switch to stop, I don't think Bryce would have listened because he can't tell Bryce anything.
Oh, yeah. I mean, probably not. You're right on that part for sure. So I find it very interesting that the Crystallos Venom and the Valg, like, in Throne of Glass are very similar when, like, when they're being described. So when Bryce is getting the venom removed from her, the witch is like, hey, this one might attempt to convince you to keep it, like, not let it leave, right? So I think that's very similar to, like, when the Valg is trying to be pulled out of Kale and it's, like, fighting Irene the whole time. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I just thought it was so similar. It doesn't actually convince Bryce to do otherwise, as far as we know. But I think there was an opportunity to have it do that. So when I looked it up and I wanted to know, like, the differences between the two. So this is what Google told me. So here's the similarities. It is sentient in parasitic nature, right? So the venom from the Crystallis demon that wounded Bryce is described as an acting, living, intelligent liquid or parasite. Similarly, the Vog poison that infected Kale, which Dorian also carries, is described by Irene as a living thing that feeds off his host's pain and despair. Which, if that's the case in Bryce, that thing is full. He full little parasite, right? So it's resistant to standard healing in both cases. The poison could not be healed through conventional means. In Crescent City, Bryce was in debilitating pain for 2 years until the venom was physically removed through a specialized magical procedure. And in Throne of Glass, Kale's Valg poison resists normal healing until Irene is able to use her special magic to draw it out. So there is also a connection I found online to Hell and the Valg. Fans have theorized that the Princes of Hell in Crescent City are equivalent to the Valg Kings in Throne of Glass. This connection further suggests that creatures and their toxins are related across the different series. Again, I got these connections theories online. So that's the online words. I don't think we have an answer, right, in any part of this series on whether or not these two are the same as of right now. But I would like to think that it's going to come back around in the next book.
Yeah, or I could even see it being tied together through the ACOTAR universe.
Right, like it gets over there.
Well, not only that it gets over there, but I could see a lot of... Oh, gosh, because there was one thing with the Valg. How did it do something with... thing is pronounced Ramiel? Is how you say their mountain's name?
Ramiel.
I can't recall. Because I want to say that they were saying something like that's made out of the same material that the clock towers are made out of. I can't recall. Don't quote me on that. But essentially, not only potentially that, but I think, for ACOTAR, the big thing is going to be Rhys's similarities to Maeve.
Yeah, I can see that.
Because there's something with Azriel too. It's Azriel and Caltaine is a theory that I've seen. Mm-hmm. Because whenever Caltaine turns into the thing that she is with the parasite essentially infecting her, the first symptom that she has are these insane headaches. And the first gift that Elaine gives Azriel is medicine for these mm-hmm. headaches that he's been having.
That's stressful. So then if they have to... So let's say hypothetically, Azriel is infected with said third, parasite, right? That maybe is like Valg, maybe is like Crystallis Venom.
Mm-hmm.
I lost it. My thought left my head and blank.
I was like, uh-huh.
Literally left my body completely gone. Yeah, yep.
It's been a day.
It has been a day. We're switching recording things. I'm over it. I don't know. I don't know what's happening. So, It will be interesting. And then my question is, will it be the same or will it be described as something new, right? Will it be described as did he get bit by a demon? Or is this another parasite that got in him? Or will it be a third category? Do you know what I mean?
This is going to be a big stretch if I can remember and hold on to my thoughts. So... One thing, as you were talking, something that popped into my head is something that Tamlin said to Feyre, saying that she has to be careful who she trusts with all this new power, because all people would want to do is use her as a weapon.
Mm-hmm.
Depending on how you want to look at it, Rhysand may or may not have done that, and they may or may not be trying to do that with Nesta as well. Mm-hmm. with Asriel and the theory that he could possibly be going the same route as Caltaine. What if Reese did something and he's planning on using Asriel for an ulterior motive and have Asriel be a weapon? And I don't like it. That's where my brain went.
Oh.
And then Asriel is going to be another sweet baby boy Dorian that's just suffering.
That is an interesting... That's an interesting thought. And we don't really have any of Asriel's, like, POV, essentially. I think we get, like, a half of one in a bonus chapter.
And he is very stupid in that chapter.
Right. Like, that's very interesting. Hmm. I really am going to hate if the next books comes out and Reese is actually the bad guy.
I kind of want it. I want it to be messy because it would... Okay, I feel like it has been so long in between books that fans have had so long to theorize and create.
Oh, yeah.
Same thing with Crescent City 3. So I feel like that's why it, like, I didn't enjoy it so much, is because fans had these really amazing creative ideas. I'm like, oh my gosh, mm-hmm. that would be, like, amazing if that was in the book, and it wasn't. And then she just took it into a whole nother direction that just kind of took me out of this universe in general.
Mm-hmm.
I just feel, because I know, like, we have a conversation a lot of how I think Moore is going to be the betrayer, and you say it's too obvious. I'm like, well, we've had years to think of who it's going to be, so.
Right. I think it's going to be Elaine.
I had a crack theory the other day that I thought it could be Lucien. I forgot my reasoning behind it.
He's not really in the inner circle, though.
Oh my gosh, if I can remember my crack theory, I might have even had it today at work. As I was dying on the inside, staring at a computer for 5 hours. I mean, he's not necessarily, like, in the inner circle yet, but he has connections to it through Feyre and Elaine. Oh my gosh, what was my theory? I'm going to remember it at 2 a.m. I'm going to be like, Dallas, I remember.
I don't know. I feel like Elaine is going, because I think that she still wants to be human. I don't think she wants to be what she is right now. And I think she's going to go to...
I think she's just overwhelmed, as she should be.
I mean, maybe, right? Like, so I think she's going to go somewhere and make a bargain with Koshe and in exchange to be a human again.
Interesting.
That's my thought. I don't know. I still think the similarities are too similar to look past. I think that the Venom in the Crystallos is too much like the Volg. I think that it's interesting that that witch's magic was able to remove the Venom so easily. And I wonder if there is relation to Irene.
100%. I think that there's so many similarities between Crescent City and Throne of Glass that it's, like, you can't deny it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because even, like, it's, the proof is in the pudding. Whenever Lydia talks about how she named literally one of her kids after her descendants, which is a descendant of Throne of Glass.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's fine.
Her tutors are very also, old.
Oh, no, that was Tamlin that I think has... Rowan and Aelin's rings. I thought it was Lydia. Because people also think that Tamlin is Adian and Lysandra's child.
Oh, I have not heard that.
Because he looks like Adian, but he has the shape-shifting abilities of Lysandra.
Interesting.
And he's also the... Words... I don't want to say mascot, emblem of the pack of devils. It's the little wolf with the horns, and that is Tamlin's other form.
Yeah.
It's all interconnected, bro.
Right. Ooh. I'm going to let that one sit for a while. I need that one to soak in so I can, really let it. I need to let it soak in for sure.
Yeah, because I was going to say, like, oh, and he looks like Aelin. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, but Aelin and Adian are, like, from the same cloth. So, again, he has that Ash River Galathinius in him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's – yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I agree or disagree. I don't know if I have any thoughts on that yet.
Adian had toddler tendencies in Kingdom of Ash.
That's
Chandler
true.
Has toddler tendencies. They were both man children at some point.
Yep, you're not wrong. You are not wrong. That's fair. That's what I have for today. I want you guys to think about the fact that I think that there's going to be a parasite somewhere in one of these other books. I think the parasite will come back to us. Somehow,
I think it has
someway.
To be an Akatar because it's in this book. It's in Throne of Glass.
Mm-hmm.
Akatar is the only time. One that hasn't been in.
You're not wrong. Maybe in the next Crescent City book, they bring it over to the Akatar world.
I really don't want them to go back to Akatar or to Valaris. I don't want it.
I had a good time.
I hated it.
I loved it.
It could have been done so much better, but the fact that they spent the entire time in the cave, and as someone who's a visual learner, like even whenever Manon and Aelin go through the mirror and they're getting this history lesson, like I can't do history dumps. And the whole time Bryce was in Valaris was a history dump. And it was with my two favorite characters too. It could have been so much more interesting.
You're funny.
I'm sorry. I didn't like it.
We will get into that in book three. We will talk about it.
We sure will.
We'll talk about it. Maybe we'll fight over it. I don't know. Who knows?
Maybe.
Tune in next week for...
We still got to fight about Kale.
We will come back to our fight about Kale. I have to get my receipts together. I tanned him red because I didn't want a whole book on Kale.
His book might be my favorite. Like, it's Throne of Glass because, obviously. And then, like, Tower of Dawn, it's right there.
I don't think we read the same book.
He had such a good story, though, bro.
I'm not saying he didn't have a good story. I just don't... Like, he's probably, like, my least favorite character of Throne of Glass.
Wow.
Yeah.
You don't...
Like, I like Arabin more than I liked Kale. Character-wise. Interesting characters. Yes.
Those are fighting words right there.
Welcome to the Goodish Girls. This is now a one-host podcast. Madison quit because I made her mad.
I'm just in shock.
Really?
What do you mean?
I like the villains.
I mean, I like a good villain too. Really?
Yeah.
Arabin over...
Kale made me so angry too many times. I was like, bro, enough.
I mean, that's a rite of passage to be mad at him.
But I was mad at him the whole time. All the books since I met him. Wow. Yeah, I hated it.
I think in the beginning, whenever he's introduced, like at first I thought he was going to be like the love interest because he was giving that like, I don't
like
you.
He kind of was for a little bit.
And like at first I was rocking with him, not rocking with Dorian, but then I was rocking with Dorian. And then Selena leaves Dorian for Kale. And the whole time I read the next book, I was like, Dorian would never. Or I was like, but Dorian was right there. Because it is a rite of passage to not like Kale. But also, if you look at fan art, I feel like it makes sense why she went to Kale. Because there have been a numerous amount of times where I've seen fan art of Selena and who I thought was Sam, but it's Kale. Because people say that she went to Kale versus Dorian, not only because of the whole title thing, which is stupid, but also because he just reminded her of Sam.
I mean, maybe a little bit, but we also didn't really get to know Sam. You know what I mean? Like, we got to know just a little bit of him.
I feel like I got to know Sam more than I did Danica.
That's fair. So, I don't know. Yeah, I don't like Kale. We'll leave it on that note. We will fight about it eventually.
Please?
And that's going to wrap it up. We will fight over it. Yes.
Thank you
for joining the Goodish Girls today, guys. She wants to fight over it now. We can't fight over it now.
No,
I need to get my receipts.
Not now, but I feel like I need to recruit a team.
A team?
Like, Just like a Goodish Girl Smackdown.
Oh my gosh. Topic of choice,
Kale.
Kale. We'll, if you're going to recruit, I will recruit as well. We'll recruit a team.
I don't know who I'm going to recruit, but that would be
fun. Just post it online. People will show up. People love a good hot take. I'm worried I might have more on my team.
We'll see. We'll see.
We'll see.
I got the lady on my side. I think she said it was either her or Sierra who said they really like Tara Dawn. I think it was Sierra. Or maybe both of them. I don't know.
We will see. I don't know. On another episode of The Goodish Girls. Thank you guys for joining us today. I hope you had fun. That was wild. Wild episode. Crazy things. Technology. Woo! We will see you guys next week with a very special guest that I hope you guys really enjoy. See you now. See you later.
I was about to say, what?
So tired. See you later.
See you now.
Can't get enough of The Goodish Girls? Follow us on social media for sneak peeks at our upcoming episodes and bonus content.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.